G'day world, Chris Hogan and Andrew Grote coming to you live from Mimity Studio here at Burleigh Heads for episode 89 of Get Fact Up on how does GDPR affect your content marketing. Woo, exciting stuff we're getting to. And first of all, I want to kick it off. This is not legal advice. You should seek out independent legal advice. We believe that, we know that this is quite a complicated topic for most of us to understand, and some of the pages that we've seen written out there on the interwebs are very long and descriptive, and we'll get to those examples soon. But first of all, let's kick it off, Andrew. So who does this affect?
It's so everyone wants it to not affect them, but the problem is it affects everyone. So it's basically like a data security law that's been brought out in the EU. But the thing is, it affects everyone. The law itself has really long reach. So if you have someone's data that's in the EU, then it affects you basically. Or if you have the potential to take someone's data from the EU. And if you think about contact forms, CRMs, all that sort of stuff, and the fact that you're visible on the web and people can put that data in, there's potential it affects you. Very high potential.
Yeah, highly likely you've got someone from the EU in your database.
Yeah, if you've got 5,000 people in your database, probably.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on. So accountability. It's really important to, I guess, know what information you're processing, how and why. That's probably the one of the biggest things about GDPR. And maintain documentation of how you're collecting that information. So where is the data? And why have you got it? How did you get it?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and a lot of systems sort of have those inline documentations in there, but it's best just to do it yourself. Have maybe a spreadsheet or something that just documents all the places that you could be storing data and how and why you got it there. Another big thing about their accountability measure is that you're only collecting data that you need for business practices. So a lot of people are storing data for a rainy day, like maybe they got it at some networking event or something like that, and they think, oh yeah, I'll keep those 500 leads for some other time. You got to be careful with that sort of stuff. So you should only have what you need to be able to market what you're marketing, basically.
Or operate your business.
Yeah, the bare minimum.
Yeah. And transparency. So you must have an easy-to-understand privacy policy. In fact, practically everybody in the globe is going to have to update their privacy policy to be GDPR compliant. And your users should not be confused or surprised about the data you're collecting or communication they're receiving from you. Yeah, so that's probably the biggest thing. If I get an email from you and I didn't subscribe to receive that email on that specific topic from that specific company, then you'll be in breach of GDPR, obviously, in the EU. But I think it's important to know that this is really best practice and something that we all need to be implementing now, because it's going to ripple out throughout the rest of the world in the next couple of years.
That's right. Like, it's fairly common sense, this law, and like everyone should have already been doing this, but I mean, everyone's a little bit relaxed with how they do maybe their data storage and stuff like that when they're setting up accounts and things. But I've read a real simple statement on that transparency thing, and it's, if you market to someone and they're confused, then you're in breach. It's that simple. So if someone's confused about, why did I get that, then you're in breach. It's easy way to look at it.
Okay. So it comes down to a lot of content marketing obviously drives people back to websites, and we want to capture their details via forms and whatnot. So you're going to have to update your website forms. That's probably one of the biggest things you'll do to your website. Or musts that you have to do to your website. And you can't have pre-checked consent boxes, e.g. pre-populated, I agree to your terms and conditions. And on top of that, you can only have one GDPR agreement field on each form. You know, you can't, again, if you try to go back to your last point, if it's confusing, to the person, which one they need to check to actually submit the form, or that they need to check all of them, and they're not 100% sure what's going to happen to their data or what communications they're going to receive or what they're going to get after they click that form, then you're in breach again. So you have to be so clear and precise and without ambiguity on your forms. And obviously your forms have to have links to your GDPR compliant privacy policy, from the or next to the form, you know. So normally when you're clicking I agree, there's actually a link, which can be done pretty easily through most content management systems. So especially, you know, the biggest one on the interwebs is WordPress. And yeah, there are tools for making those forms compliant. So I'm on 8. You need to be able to give people access to all their data. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So if somebody calls your business and says, what data have you got of mine? You need to be able to go, okay, yeah, sure, we can get that, and then provide everything that that you have on them. So that's now enforceable. So people could always do that, and it's sort of like, I suppose, due diligence as a business that you provide that for them, but it was never enforceable in this sort of way before. So it's important to know that you can actually get that out in a reasonable amount of time. And there is a bit of leeway. They say you have to at least respond to people within 24 hours saying, yeah, sure, we're processing that now. But if you don't know how you're going to get data out, if someone were to call, then you should probably start researching that. So if you've got some CRM that's holding all this data, you need to know how to get all of that out in an easy fashion, basically, yeah.
And so that give people access to all their data doesn't necessarily mean that you have to allow sign-in from your website to access all that data.
Yeah, you just export it to a spreadsheet or something and then say, there you go.
Yep.
But there's an interesting point there that I read. So there's some gray areas. So if the data that you give to someone affects somebody else or another business or maybe your own intellectual property, then you can actually maybe discuss with them just how much you're going to give them. So you can say, look, this affects someone else, so we're only going to give you this. As long as you've made that clear, then that's okay as well.
Yeah. And you need to disclose if the data is processed by any sort of decision-making automation as well. So that's a big one. So many people, we've mentioned before, using sales and marketing automation tools. So what do they mean by that?
So if you have, say, ActiveCampaign's a good example there. There's automated sequences in that. If someone signs up on a form, yeah, cool, they get the email saying thank you for signing up, and then maybe they go into a sequence where once a week they get an update or something like that. And depending what they do, it may change the sequence they're in or things along those lines. So depending on what action they take, it needs to be clear when they sign up that there will be some decision making made by an automated system in there. And I'm sort of iffy about that one. I feel like that could scare a lot of people off. So you have to be really, you'd have to word it really well. I suppose. Not saying that, like, yeah, you're basically going to get thrown to some AI and it's going to figure out what's going on and learn things about you. You just need to say simply that your data will be going to an automated system that may change depending on your actions and stuff like that.
Yep. So I guess we've just already covered off that you have, you've got to respond within 24 hours when people request your data. You also must confirm the user's identity. They must provide some sort of details, license, whatever it is, something to prove that they are the ones to be getting the data, because you don't want to have a double breach. And take caution if disclosing the data may release sensitive information. So like you said, best practice is to acknowledge the request and then action away over the next 30 days or within the next 30 days. So what of the existing content marketing activities are most affected?
So that's going to be, for one, email marketing, so your MailChimps and things like that. SMS and MMS marketing, so, you know, burst SMS and whatever you'd be using to do SMS blasts. CRMs, big one there. So Infusionsoft, Salesforce, ActiveCampaign. And then any sort of accounting or project management software that might have someone's details in there. So if you're doing a project with a client or something like that, obviously their details are in there. And anything along those lines, anything that you might have a client or user's details in that could be affected by that.
Yeah. So mostly what we're seeing there is any direct marketing or direct business applications.
Mm.
Yeah, so they're the most affected by this and where you can get probably in the most trouble. So one of the safest places to, I guess, concentrate your marketing or your content marketing is, or sorry, your marketing is content marketing.
Mm.
So one of the safest places to focus your marketing is content marketing. And that is because by producing content, you're really simply hosting that content on your website,
mm-hmm.
or a third party like a social media platform like mm-hmm. LinkedIn or YouTube or Vimeo or Instagram, Facebook and whatnot. And therefore, you're sort of putting yourself a little bit at arm's reach to the data records, for want of a better term. You know, who's hosting that data? Well, it's actually those platforms. It's Facebook, it's YouTube and all the rest of it.
And because they're well and truly GDPR compliant by now, like you said, it gives you that buffer, that legal buffer. You can't do anything that breaches GDPR on Facebook, so to speak, because they won't let you.
Yeah, exactly. If they let you, then they're in drive.
Yeah.
And of course, so when you're producing that content, you absolutely have to have your privacy policies and T's and C's up to date and update your web forms. But one of the things about content marketing is that it's always generally distributed through a social network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We use paid amplifications on the network to get the reach and engagement that we want on those networks. And therefore we really should be opting for social activities over those direct mail activities. And that's, I mm-hmm. guess, the biggest lesson right now. If you are a little bit unsure about whether or not your database, your email database or your marketing database has people in there from the EU right now, then essentially err on the side of the caution and focus more on your socials for now until mm-hmm. you can fix that. So as in, and what I mean by fixing that is obviously get all your privacy policies up to date. And you're going to have to do a reconfirmation campaign on your email database.
Yeah, and that could hurt a lot of people, but it's going to have to happen. But thinking about it on the positive side, if you've got, let's say, 5,000 people on there and only 2,500 are actually engaged subscribers and you lose all the disengaged subscribers, it's actually going to help you in the long run because you don't want to be getting like a high bounce rate and high spam rate on your email campaigns anyway. So it's going to improve your scoring overall and you end up paying less for these services as well.
Exactly, because it's always based on number of subscribers that you've got is how much you pay. And so basically, what's next? Excuse me. So I guess I like to go out there and see what everybody else has done on this topic, mm-hmm. and obviously all the global focused companies have got this stuff well in order. And one really great example, which is I think probably one of the best examples I've seen, is Xero. So if you actually search for Xero and GDPR, you'd land on their pages, and they have pages and pages of explanations of what GDPR is, what they're doing with your data, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, that's best case scenario. I'm not telling you to go out and copy and paste that. Engage a lawyer to help you write your privacy policy. In fact, there's been no greater need for getting a lawyer involved on your privacy policies than now to just give you that peace of mind. And like I said earlier, WordPress have some great plugins on how to create GDPR compliant forms. Campaign Monitor and MailChimp and ActiveCampaign and all of those softwares that you probably use to do your marketing all have details on how to, you know, utilize, I guess, or follow best practices on their own platforms. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, just that your data, your email database, you have to do that reconfirmation campaign. And you know what? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So, as Ian, you're going to either get yourself in trouble if you try and send stuff out without checking whether or not people are in the EU currently. And if you do a reconfirmation campaign, like you said, you're going to cull out potentially 50% or more of your database. And that's not such a bad thing. Yeah, we think it sucks, but if they're not opening, if they're not actually engaging,
that's right.
There's no point emailing them anyway.
People get hung up on the number of subscribers they have, and they don't want to see that go down. But engaged subscribers is always better than a big list.
Yeah. So the key message that I really got away from the key message that I got from GDPR and maybe not being 100% ready, or some clients of ours that aren't 100% ready. So is that content marketing wasn't hugely affected if the direct marketing component wasn't actually included in that content marketing strategy. So that's great. Produce the content, put it on social, amplify the reach, get them back to your website. If you want them to subscribe to forms, make sure they're GDPR compliant and your privacy policy are compliant. If you're not ready, if you don't have those privacy policies or your forms up to date, just don't ask for that information right now. But still continue to do your content marketing and make sure that traffic is keep coming back and make sure that you're continually engaging with your business. And you never know, if they don't have a form to submit, they might just pick up the phone and do business with you that way.
Yeah, that's right. If they want to do business, they'll find a way. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, thanks very much for listening to Me Media's Get Fact Up. Me Media create engaging, authentic content for the new media world and produce video content marketing, and you guys can always engage us to help you with your content marketing too. So thanks very much for watching. Thank you very much, Andrew. We'll see you next week.
See you later.